Got the winter blues? Start planning your summer. Plan on fun and get out in the water with your boat club. Your boat club offers boat club memberships and daily rentals with access to over 40 bodies of water and over 400 brand new boats to enjoy. Whether you want to cruise on a pontoon, create waves in a speedboat, or reel in a big one on a fishing boat, your boat club has got you covered. Unlimited boating memberships are available now, starting at just $1.99 a month after a one-time initiation. Life is better on the water. Find out more today at yourboatclub.com.
This will be our season preview edition of the Chin Music Show, our baseball show at TalkNorth.com. Lineup today, Lavelle E. Neal III, Star Tribune columnist. I'm Jim Suhan, also from the Star Tribune. Roy Smalley plans to join us shortly. Roy, of course, the former Twins All-Star, now Twins broadcaster. I'm optimistic about the season. When you read social media, it makes you feel like you're in the minority. So I'm going to be very interested to hear what Lavelle has to think about this team. I want to let you know we're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. Thanks to Aquarius Home Services. Thanks also to our friends at Twill. Also, John Krasinski, our basketball expert at TalkNorth.com, is going to take a trip to Spain this summer. Go to DefineDestinations.com. Check out the trip, Taste of Spain. And we highly recommend joining them. We've done a lot of trips like that. They're always fantastic. Highly recommend that experience. If you like this show, please subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's the easiest way to listen. And if you like any show at TalkNorth.com, that is the easiest way to listen, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. All right, Lavelle, let's just get right to it. What do you think overall of this team's capabilities? Where do you think this team is going to end up?
Okay, glad you brought that up because that's actually my column for tomorrow's paper at StarTribune.com, my season preview column. I think that they have the best talent in the division. I think they have the best offense. I think they will have a top five bullpen in all of baseball. So we have obsessed in recent weeks, or ever since free agency began, about Sonny Gray and Kenta Maeda leaving as free agents. More importantly, Sonny Gray leaving, because I think he actually led the team in WAR last year and was second in Cy Young voting. And no, they have not adequately replaced Sonny Gray. They have not. But I just feel the strides that the offense made during the second half of last year, plus plugging in a healthy Correa and Byron Buxton into that group, will lead to even a more robust offense. They scored 778 runs a year ago. I think they're going to pass 800 this year. Couple that with a bullpen that was already ranked based on like Fangraphs and some other statistical evaluators. The bullpen was going to be top five in baseball. I saw a couple of rankings had them second behind the Phillies bullpen. So I think we have a bullpen that's able to bail out a struggling starter, and you have offense that's going to be better than the year before. You can make up for the loss of a Gray. And I also believe in it. You know, I don't like it. I mean, I wish they would have went out and signed like Jordan Montgomery. I think that would have been a great deal for a 1 year, $25 million deal with a vesting option for another year. But yeah, I mean, Bailey Ober and Joe Ryan are hitting the best years of their careers. They're hitting the primes. There's nothing wrong about thinking that they both will be better than last year. Ober got over his innings workload issue. Ryan had a 6.6 ERA during the second half of the year and basically pitched hurt and paid the price for it. Those two guys taking another step forward could also help step into fill the breach that's created by the loss of Gray. So you put all those factors together. I see the Twins at, I got them at 89 wins, I believe. It'd be over 90 if the bullpen was totally healthy going into the season. They may have to take a couple lumps early, but I also think they have enough depth because of Brock Stewart and Griffin Jacks to pitch, pretend that they're a closer for a month until everybody gets healthy. So I see 89 wins. It'd be over 90 if everybody was healthy. And I see a team that's going to win another division title.
Roy, what do you think?
I agree with Lavelle for the most part. I just see some potential flies in the ointment, and which you always do every year with any team. You never know how performance is going to turn out or how injury is going to turn out. But just let's say everybody stays healthy and this is the pitching staff they have. I still think that Joe Ryan has an awful lot to prove. I don't think that I think injuries bothered him in the second half, obviously. But even in the first half of the year, he was not dominating good hitting lineups, or he wasn't pitching well against good hitting lineups because of the lack of really sharp changeup and breaking ball. And if that those two pitches come around, if he figures those out to a better degree, then I'm really with Lavelle. I think that, you know, he could win 15 ball games, you know, pretty easily. I like Ober's chances to be an awful lot better. So I'm in agreement for the, you know, for the most part. The only thing that I would say, what they did, how they replaced Sonny Gray is they have serviceable starting staff and a really good bullpen. So it's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit more managerial, I think, this year. But I think they've got a chance to win the 89 to 90 games that Lavelle's talking about. It's, I think, a lot, and I've said that I'm a broken record. So here it comes again. It's I think Correa is going to be better. I'm just counting on that. So I think it's a Buxton staying healthy and Joe Ryan taking the next step. I think those are the two keys.
And I tend to be overly optimistic this time of the year. I admit it. I know what my track record is. Of course, I underpredicted the year they won 101 games. I didn't see that one coming. But I would say, I think if they survive the pitching injuries early and they deal for a starting pitcher midseason if they need one, I'm going to assume those things are going to happen. So I'm going to peg them at 92 wins and an easy win division title. And here's what I see, guys. I think usually when we look at good Twins teams in this version of the division, in the American League Central, we think, okay, yeah, the Twins can win the division, but they're just not going to be a tough playoff team because they don't have the frontline starting pitching, they don't have the veteran hitters. I think this team, because of the injuries, is going to have to deal with a battle to win the division. But I love what this team might be able to do in the postseason because they have a true ace, they have all-star closer, they have a bunch of power arms in the bullpen, and they have a very deep and talented lineup. So I think if they can find a way to survive the division, I could see this being a dangerous postseason team. Let's go with Roy this time.
I would not disagree with that at all. And what we're seeing is, I think, some pretty good character in terms of the lineup. So that when they face tough teams in the postseason, they've got a chance. It's not that they killed mediocre pitching during the course of the season. They've got to step up and hit against the best in the postseason. And we saw what Royce Lewis did, even though Houston worked him a little bit. He had a big series against Toronto. He just looks like he's not phased. And so I think he's going to be a professional hitter in the offseason, I think, I think Correa will be. And I think the rest of the supporting staff, if Buck stays healthy, I think he will be. And the rest of the supporting staff is good, supporting roles are going to be pretty good. So, yeah, I think they could be, if they win the division, I think they could, in these short series, I think they could be just fine. But again, it's Buxton and Ryan. I mean, it would be them in the playoffs as well.
You know, if was a fifth, we'd all be hammered right now. But that's usually the talk going into a baseball season is if this happens, if that happens, and if this comes into play here. I'm looking at, Jim mentioned how dangerous it could be in the postseason. I could see that, especially when they have to shorten up that rotation. And that's why I really want to see what Chris Paddock does this year, coming back from a second Tommy John surgery. He really showed he was intriguing during the postseason. He looked good the week I was there during spring training. And I don't know what his workload's going to be like, how they're going to stretch him out or how much they're going to rest him. But if he can show the ability he showed when he first came up into the majors with the Padres, that's a huge development, especially for the regular season, not just for regular season, but in the postseason as well. And yes, the Twins have a number of guys who throw, I think the average fastball in baseball is 94 miles an hour now. They got a bunch of guys who are 96, 97. What nasty stuff. Griffin Jackson's sweeper was already nasty in spring training this year. Tulpa's got a nice slider. They got guys who can throw pitches under bats as well as carry over them. So I think they'll be looking for a certain pitch type in certain situations. So when you give Rocco those type of options, he's going to use them. So yeah, we just have to get through the regular season without major catastrophes here. And it could be a cool team to watch in October.
How was the ball coming out of Paddock's hand in spring training? I didn't see him pitch.
I thought it came out fine. Cause you know, coming back from Tommy John, you know, the finishing off pitches and getting that last stuff, last bit of breaking ball stuff back, it sometimes is a challenge. Yeah. He was really happy with where he was at. I talked to him for a half an hour by the batting cages, one day. And, that's when he was holding the football. Cause he throws a football to help with his baseball delivery. I don't know how you feel about that, but he was full of confidence that he's back. He thinks he's got a new elbow, you know, and with this primary repair procedure they do now, they did both with him. So basically he thinks he's got a bionic elbow. So he can't wait to get in the major league game. But I thought he looked pretty good. The two outs I saw him make.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest ifs in your ifs were fifths little deal, but it really is a huge one. It could swing either way. Tremendously disappointing if he either gets hurt again or his stuff doesn't play the way we think it's going to. On the other hand, if he's got anything like what he showed in the postseason, it could be pretty special. I mean, and all of a sudden the rotation woes, kind of go away. So that he's going to be a real interesting one to watch.
No doubt about it. All right, I want to talk about the current fifth starter and why he's the fifth starter and whether he should be the fifth starter. First, just want to let you know, we're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. We want to thank Aquarius Home Services.
Scott for Aquarius, wishing you a happy new year. And happy? How can we be only halfway through winter? Want some good news? Now is the time to replace your old furnace and AC with a new high-efficiency whole home heating and cooling system. Because at Aquarius, you can install it now and not pay a penny until next year. Visit AquariusHomeServices.com and schedule your free estimate today. Financing offer subject to available credit. Aquarius, earning the right to be recommended.
Reminder, best way to listen to this show or any show you like at TalkNorth.com, whether it's Russo, Krasinski, John Millay, Jeff Diamond, Don Mitchell, is to subscribe to your favorite podcast app. Again, it's free. It's the easiest way to listen. It just makes everything simple on both sides of the equation. We appreciate that in advance. So Louis Varland gets told he's going to be the fifth starter, and then he has two outings where he gets rocked in spring training. Usually, I don't care about spring training performances, but this one, because he was throwing about 94, 95 and not showing the dominant stuff he had last year out of the bullpen, this one does worry me. This to me is the biggest reason I would not pick them to win 90 wins is if Varland's not going to be a good fifth starter and he's not going to be in the bullpen, Roy.
Well, yeah, I've talked about this before. As a starter, he just hasn't, to date, he hasn't shown it. He's shown toughness. He's shown the ability to throw the ball over the plate, but when he came out of the bullpen, it was 97, 98. He's got a straight fastball, and at 97, 98 out of the bullpen for an inning, that plays really well. At 94, 95 straight as a starter without really scintillating secondary pitches, it doesn't play. And so if you're the manager, a lot of times in spring training says, yeah, you know, this player or that player, I'm not worried about them. I like the at-bats he was taking. He hit a lot of line drives at people. No, I like the way this pitcher, I like the way the ball's coming out of his hand. As long as he's got his rhythm, throwing strikes. If I'm the manager, I'm going, uh-oh, with Louis Varland, just because it's only spring training, but the manager wants to see positive things, even if the results aren't there. He wants to see positive things. And I'm not sure that Rocco saw enough positive things to make him not just a little bit concerned.
Yeah, I'm a little worried too about Louis. I know he was trying. I can't remember what pitch it was. He's trying to throw something different in camp to give him another option. And doesn't look like it's done well for him. But you know, these guys aren't always pitching for results. But you do want to give the coaching staff some confidence in you going into a regular season. So I'm a little concerned too. But you know what? He's the one who's clearly he prefers to be a starter over a reliever. So he's got to keep that in the back of his mind when he's on the mound here going, I got to prove why I don't want to be a reliever, or he's going to be a reliever. This is the one area that, you know, Jim is right, because Varland has to just be okay too. He's a fifth starter. It's not like he has to be, you know, lights out. He just has to be functional. He can't do that. Then now you've got a collection of guys, Brett Hedrick, Sammy Woods Richardson, David Festa, Randy Dobnak, who all are going to be at St. Paul as guys that the Twins are going to have to look at. So I think they're going to keep tabs with some unemployed veterans right now, and they may have to go get a starter at the trade deadline. Anyway, just because I added it up, 85% of the starts, the starting five made 85% of their starts last year. That was just a huge number that can't be duplicated. They're going to need to rely on the bottom five. Louis could help the Twins avoid dipping into that depth early into the season.
Lavelle, was it a cutter that he was going to mess around with? Was he trying to cut the ball a little bit?
That might have been it.
I think so. I think he was thinking about that, but here's the deal. Gene Mock told me a long time ago, he had a veteran guy that pitched his rear end off in spring training and he didn't make the team. They let him go and he couldn't believe why he didn't make the team. Went into Gene's office and asked him, and he said, look, man, I love you. You've got this great breaking ball. It really plays in spring training. These guys here in spring training, you're in effect, you look a lot better than you really are, because the guys are just hitting fastballs in spring training and they're not ready to hit your big league breaking ball yet. And there's not enough else left there, right? And so if we take that to modern day baseball, and you know, Griffin Jackson is throwing hard, but what you said, Lavelle, is that he's got this great sweeper and it was dominant in spring training. There's probably a little bit of, you know, the guys aren't ready to hit a sweeper of that caliber, you know, right away in spring training. But that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. The manager is going to look at that and say, okay, it might not be this great, but man, that really is really going to play with a 97 mile an hour fastball in that sweeper. That's really going to play. Now you get to, you know, to Louis, and he's throwing 94, 95 with a straight fastball, and he doesn't have a whole lot of anything else for the manager to say, well, I'm going to take this away from, even though the results weren't there, man, that slider was great. Or man, that changeup has really come a long way. We're not seeing that, you know, and that's the problem that I see.
Another interesting twist here, something we always have to remind ourselves, is that if they want to, they could delay using a fifth starter until like April 8th or 9th, correct, somewhere in there. So there's even the possibility they could use Louis out of the bullpen first week of the season and still have him make that first, you know, fifth starter start, which would be like April 8th or 9th at home against the Dodgers, which might not be the best matchup for Louis. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Also interesting to see how quickly, and Lavelle, I'll ask you this, how quickly do you think Duran, Thielbar, and Topa are back?
Oblique problems with hitters, and that's easily a month, maybe longer. Because if you aggravate that injury, you're going to be up much longer. I don't know if Roy's ever tweaked an oblique. Maybe he can comment on that. But for a pitcher, especially Duran, who throws major gas, you know, it's almost like you got to treat him like a greyhound. Because if one thing goes wrong, it can upset the entire animal there. So I'm expecting him like second week in May. It sounds like Topa and Thielbar could be back before that. So, but I would be so careful with Duran, just because of what he means to the club and the damage he does when he comes into games, and just for the overall structure of the bullpen it's safer. My Jim, my one concern is this, is that historically the Twins sometimes they don't describe the injuries correctly and end up missing more time than they should. And if that happens, I'll be very disappointed in this case.
Well, I never had an oblique injury. I've been around some of them, and they are, for hitters, they are really, really tough. My suspicion is that it would be much easier for a hitter to come back too soon and re-injure than a pitcher who's feeling, a big, strong guy like Duran feeling strong and feels like his oblique's okay. You're right, Lavelle. I mean, he's a finely tuned machine, but I think oblique may be a little bit easier for a one inning, relief guy. We'll see about that. The other thing I'd want to say about obliques is I remember some when I was playing, they are commonplace in the big leagues right now. And it's another one of those injury, soft tissue injury head scratchers that we've talked about, many times. It's like, why are there so many hamstrings now? We didn't used to have those that much. Why are there obliques? I mean, we never saw that. So I don't think they know what to do about it. It's just really, it's a problem that has popped up here in modern day baseball.
He didn't have a full spring training either, so when you start ramping him up, how long do you need to ramp him up before you can trust him in a major league game? I mean, I would leave him in Florida right now. I'm sure he's down there now. I wouldn't bring him back in this cold ass weather and they have to mess around with it. I keep him in campus where I can monitor him the right way and he'll be in warm weather and ease his way back and then have him see some hitters and then maybe come to St. Paul at the end of April and face hitters for a few days before coming up. But I just don't know how much ramping up does he need now that he's missed a chunk of time.
Yeah, well, we will be finding out, and that is another key to this season. All right, two topics I want to get to today. First, Lavelle used to have fun with the old pick to click at the end of spring training. So I'm going to ask Lavelle and Roy, give me a hitter and a pitcher who you think will either outperform expectations or just perform exceptionally well. Let's start with Lavelle.
Well, it's funny you brought that up, Jim, because I still have my picks to click announced in the press box at Hammond Stadium. And I actually submitted them for yesterday's game.
What a thrill for everybody there in Florida. And
I know. I did put it on social media last night. But my pitcher to click is Bailey Ober. And this is when I turned into Scott Boras with the terrible puns. So I said, Bailey Ober. Bailey is over his innings workload issues.
And then Brandon, we can edit that out, right? Continue. And then
my hitter to click is Byron Buxton. And simply I wrote, the boss is back.
All right. I will accept both of those. What do you think, Roy?
Hitter Royce Lewis. I think that he's going to be an exceptional player all around. And I think he's going to continue his really striking, startling, talent, and poise and mental toughness at the plate. I don't think it's a straight line, north, necessarily. I think there's going to be some ups and downs. I think they're going to work him hard inside with fastballs and slider him away. And he's going to have to adjust to that. He's going to have to figure out how he wants to attack pitchers when he knows how they're going to attack him. And especially for a guy that wants it, it's not that he wants to hit the ball out of the ballpark to left field. He just does that naturally. And so if they're pitching him inside, he thinks he might get it in there. The slider away, as we saw with the Houston pitchers, that's going to give him some trouble. But the thing about Royce Lewis is that nothing gets him down. You throw him, he can. We're going to see some stretches where he strikes out three times, and the fourth time somebody hangs him a breaking ball, and he hits a three run. I shouldn't say that. He hits a grand slam, and wins the game. So he's my hitter. It won't be a perfect straight line, but it's going to be, by the end of the season, it's going to be really good. And with the pitcher, I'm going to go with Joe Ryan, that he'll be better. I don't know what the expectations are. He's going to be better through a full season this year than he was last year. You know, no injuries, figure out some secondary pitches, and I think he ends up pitching real well. And I mainly say I pick him because they really need him. They need me to be right on this one.
No doubt. All right, my picks, and I'm not going to pick the same people you guys pick, so I'll go a little different direction. I'm going to go with Wallner. I think he's going to hit a lot of home runs in Target Field. I think that place is built for him. And I also just love the way he plays. He's a driven guy. He plays really hard in the field, excellent arm. And I just think I don't know what his average is going to be or his on-base percentage is going to be, but I think he's going to hit home runs, and they can always use that. Pitcher, I'm going to go Brock Stewart. He's probably going to get a chance to close some games early in the season. His stuff is amazing. If he stays healthy, however they use him, I think he's going to be a dominant pitcher. So those are my picks. Now, we talked last week at the end of the show about talking about Ohtani. I was like, let's let things play out a little bit. Let's talk about Ohtani. And Roy, what are your thoughts at this stage?
Well, my thoughts haven't changed. I'm still other than, you know, are they going to be okay with his interpreter buddy taking the entire fall here, you know, rightly or wrongly? And they said, well, you know, the guy just stole from poor Ohtani, and he, Ohtani didn't do anything wrong. Okay. And baseball goes on. Everything's fine. I just have a hard time thinking, and I want that to be the case. I feel bad for this fellow. Gambling's a tough, a very, you know, tough disease. And I feel bad for him. And it's not that I want to see him, you know, go to jail. The issues that I have are twofold. One is, how did Ohtani, I mean, $4.5 million, I don't care how much he's making. $4.5 million is a lot of money. And how does he not have any inkling that that's going on? And the second issue for me is, okay, this guy's dealing with a bookie out there in LA. How does a bookie let a guy that's making whatever he's making run up a $4.5 million gambling debt and not have an idea that there's some money coming from somewhere? So I still don't think maybe we'll never know the whole story, and maybe it's going to blow over. Maybe it'll be fine. I just think I think there are some worrisome things about it.
Yeah, I'm concerned too. The other thing too, with a lot of these interpreters, they're basically like a right hand man for the players, and it goes beyond interpreting. It's running errands, negotiating things for them, making sure they're eating right, living with them, working out with them. So yeah, see how Ohtani could just miss $4.5 million. I think he knows. And eventually it's going to come out in the wash. You know, there's at least two bodies investigating this now. Major League Baseball. I'm sure Major League Baseball is hiring an independent investigation firm to look into this. And the FBI is looking into it, because this is how it all started, because they were looking into this bookie. So this is going to be awful for baseball. Now, if Ohtani admits that he never bet on games and he just let his boy do make all the decisions, it's still shaky, but I can see that a little bit. But there's no way Ohtani did not know about money flying out of his bank account.
I also saw a betting expert, I think it was on ESPN, saying that if you lost $4.5 million, that might be an indication that you were betting tens or hundreds of millions of dollars. He basically was saying that it's not like he placed one $4 million bet and lost. If you lost that much, it's probably an indication of a massive amount of money being gambled. And that's where it would be very hard to figure out. I know $4.5 million is a lot of money, but it was like, if you were actually betting $20 million to lose $4 million, then it's really hard to figure out how Ohtani did not know. So it's yeah, this is bad for baseball. I'll also say, I'll also be a complete contrarian in saying this. It would be terrible for baseball if this came out that Ohtani was betting. No doubt about it. Baseball has survived everything that's been thrown at it. We've seen the Black Sox. We've seen steroids. We've seen other gambling problems. We've seen Pete Rose. So it, no matter how bad it is, and it might be really bad, baseball will survive it.
Well, I totally agree with that, Jimmy. We look at it from this standpoint. Let's say that what actually comes out is that Ohtani never bet on anything, but he paid off his buddy's gambling debts. See, he's going to be in trouble.
Yep.
But maybe not permanently. And even if there's permanent, if he bet on baseball games, then he's out. Yep. You know, it would be a big blow to baseball not to have that kind of talent anymore. But it's not like I don't think what we're going to find out if he did any betting at all, I don't think it's going to be the kind of Black Sox, Pete Rose scandalish. It's just going to be, you know, your buddy screwed up big time. You screwed up by helping him. Probably shouldn't have bet on these horse races or whatever the heck it was. And he may be out, but the scandal is not as serious. I guess what I'm trying to say is it doesn't go to, I don't think it's going to go to the integrity of the game nearly as much. I think it's going to be, at worst, it's going to be, Shohei has to go away.
I wonder what it's going to be like for the Dodgers to go on the road once the season starts. On Ohtani, how visiting home fans on the road are going to treat the Dodgers and Ohtani. Are we going to see dollar signs?
Only the new Astros.
Yeah. And what's going to happen when he goes to San Francisco? The Giants fans are going to they're going to go to town on this one. It's going to be crazy.
No doubt. All right. Yeah, No question.
He's going to get booed everywhere he goes, and there's going to be lots of signs. There's going to be a whole bunch of meme-worthy stuff. Hey, by the way, I speaking of memes, I got to tell you guys, I don't know if you saw this, but so Mookie Betts is hitting first for the Dodgers, right? Ohtani's hitting second. And there's a picture where Ohtani is standing to the left of Mookie Betts in the on-deck circle area. And so both of their backs to the camera. So you can guess you can figure out what it said, right?
Oh my, yes.
Ohtani Betts.
Oh man.
They're going to have to change the batting order. They're absolutely going to change the batting order.
They're going to have to change the batting order.
All right, gentlemen, good stuff. We're going to get more into the Twins as we start to see them actually play real games. I can't wait for the season to start. I think it's going to be a blast. Looking forward to being at Target Field. Looking forward to talking baseball with Roy and LaBelle all season long. Please join us. And again, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. Thanks again to Aquarius Home Services. We'll talk to you next week when we'll be talking about real games.